Well, it's time for this year's final edition of Around the State as we take a look at the top matchups going on across this beautiful state and the road to the Dome is at its final stop. Quarterfinal night across the state tonight and tomorrow. Eight-player night, everything else tomorrow. We're going to run class by class and hear from some of the coaches that are hoping to punch their tickets to Cedar Falls either tonight or tomorrow. I mentioned eight-player, they take stage tonight now because that's because they play their semifinals next Wednesday. So they're a little bit different schedule than everybody else. So to give them another day rest, they play these tonight. And we've got Pod A, Don Bosco, Bishop Garrigan. Pod B, Fremont Mills, Woodbine. By the way, you can listen to that game, hopefully, KB960 with Dusty Scahill and Tom Moore. Pod C, you've got Edgewood, Colesburg at Gladbrook, Rhinebeck. And then in Pod D, Audubon, Iowa Valley. Big one there. Excited for that one. I'll have the call there from Marengo tonight alongside Todd Jacobson. Let's go back to Pod A. Don Bosco, Bishop Garrigan. If there's nothing better than two private schools colliding in an eight-player quarterfinal, if that's for you, well, this game is for you. We take a look at it from the Don Bosco side with head coach Colby Yoder.
Got a long haul uphill going on here, so but definitely it's going to be a challenging game for us. They're rated number one right now. Obviously, they haven't had many close games all year, but and they're a well-coached football team. But anything can definitely happen in this round for sure. You're in this round for a reason, so you're all pretty good football teams.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your guys' season. Played a really, really tough non-district schedule, and I mean, your two losses are two other teams that are playing in this round with Iowa Valley and Gladbrook Rhinebeck. As you guys have maneuvered through the year, what have you liked? What do you feel good about?
We set our schedule up that way for a reason this year. I mean, we didn't really know what we had coming in this year, and we lost a lot of good kids last year. You can look at the seasons both ways a little bit. I mean, obviously we got two losses, but we've been battle tested too, and we were in both of those football games. I think we had a couple bad third quarters in each of those games, but other than that, I think we've improved throughout the season. Ever since I've been at Bosco, we've kind of preached on trying to get better every week, and I think we've done that. I think we're going to put up a good challenge for Garrigan. It's going to be a tough outing for us, but definitely something we're looking forward to, and we got nothing to lose, so it'll be fun for our kids. And we've been here a lot in this round, and we just got to find a way to win.
You mentioned that, you know, coming into the year, maybe you weren't quite sure what you guys had. Obviously, it's been really good. Who or what has been the most pleasant surprise?
You know, we've got a lot of new faces. I mean, our quarterback's a first-year starter as a senior. We've had some good kids, too, up the way, like Ty Christensen started since he was a sophomore. Vincent Pranger is a new guy that's touched the ball for us a lot this year. He's kind of a new starter for us. Yeah, but our line is probably our thing that's really pretty steady for us. We had quite a few guys back on the line of scrimmage with Kaiser Bovey and Mr. Salas, Kyler Salas. Those two guys are kind of our front runners up front. And, we're kind of a balanced team that just finds a way to win. So that's kind of what we've been doing, and we're just trying to get better every week.
Now, looking to Thursday night, as you mentioned, a really, really good Bishop Garrigan team is the opponent. They're ranked number one for a reason, I guess. Well, what are the biggest challenges they'll present to your team?
Well, you know, they're very balanced. They've got a really tough quarterback. I mean, they're a really solid team. They have been since they dropped down to the eight-man game. They're well-coached. Coach Wadley's been there for as long as I played football in high school, so he's been around a long time. They're really run heavy a little bit. I think they've got some good receivers too, but they want to run downhill, and we got to try and force them to pass maybe a little bit. But they're a well-rounded football team, and they always have been. They control the clock well, and they play really good defense. So, I mean, they're a really sound football team. We're going to have to play some really good football to give ourselves a chance to win. So.
Yeah, what does a Don Bosco path to victory have to look like there on Thursday?
We can't have a bunch of turnovers. I'd love to force some turnovers, but I just think that, you know, it's going to be a dogfight regardless for us to win, and we're just going to have to battle for 48 minutes and hope we can stay in the game and give ourselves a chance to win. But I think the line of scrimmage and definitely turnovers are going to be a huge part of the game. So, I mean, if we can eliminate those and maybe force a couple, we'll give ourselves a chance.
Kobe Yoder, head coach at Don Bosco. Onward to Class A we go. Pod A, Woodbury Central at MMCRU. Pod B, North Lynn at St. Ansgar. Pod C, West Sioux at ACGC. And Pod D is Lynnville Soli at Wapsie Valley. And that is where we go for our next interview. The Lynnville Soli Hawks under Coach Mike Parkinson, no stranger to big games. They were a quarterfinal team in 2022 in a monsoon against HSTW, and they won that game. They had a good night that night. I definitely did not there in the pouring rain. They haven't been to the Dome since, but they're hoping to get back there when they take on Wapsie Valley tonight. Here is Lynnville Soli head coach Mike Parkinson.
Blessed to be part of this and our team and to have these guys, and we're feeling really good about things. We're healthy coming in and looking forward to a great game with Wapsie Valley, another great football team.
I know this is a program that over the last couple of years has had quite a bit of success. Speak to maybe kind of the standard or the expectation that has been set there at Lynnville Soli over the last couple of years.
Well, you know, I think it started back in 22 when this group of seniors that we have were freshmen, and they got to experience a year with another team with a lot of seniors that made it to the Unidome, had gotten all the way to the semifinals. And they really wanted to build this season like that group did and get back to that. And so this particular, you know, this year, having this group of guys and the dedication that they've had, it's been really rewarding. We've got 11 seniors, and all of them really have their sights set on a big goal for our program. And you know, that's pretty fun when you get to watch guys mature and grow into that. And we've had some good runs over the last couple of years being in the postseason. But we just haven't quite gotten that close again the last 2 years. So this is one really special year, I think, for our guys.
You know, kind of looking backwards a little bit, you know, last week you faced a familiar foe in BGM who had been, you'd been in the same district with them. It's tough to beat a good team twice, but you guys were able to do that. Tell me about that win and how you guys made it happen.
Well, you're exactly right. Anytime you got to play a team a second time, especially in the postseason, there's a lot of challenges that get presented, mostly because they get the pen last. You know, when you win the first one, preparing for them the next time, you're the one that gets to make the changes, essentially. And so I thought our guys did a great job of preparing and not overlooking them, not just resting on the fact that we had won the first matchup, but doing so in a convincing way again. You know, and before the game, we had really talked about, you know, just getting out there and playing our best and doing so. And I thought we did that. We played a complete game between our offense, defense, and special teams. And really, I think any good football team is just an extension of one of those three areas. You know, if you're really good on defense, that sets up your offense. And I think that's been above and away like what we do in this program, especially this year. We play good defense. We execute in the special teams. And a lot of times that leads to shorter fields for our offense where you can be more productive. And so I just looked at, you know, at our game Friday, really pleased with the output. Special teams, we did a great job of protecting the football. BGM did a lot of onside kicks. We recovered all of them. We also made a couple stops on fourth down early in the game. BGM went for it on a fake punt. We stopped them. One of our freshman outside linebackers, Henry Sharp, made the tackle on a great play. And then on a couple punts, we had two really nice punts by Landon Fisk, and one of them actually bounced back and hit one of the BGM gunners, jammers. And our gunner, Kimball Elliott, actually was just really aware and saw it happen and jumped right on the ball. And that was pretty awesome turn of events because we got the ball inside the 10-yard line to go get a score. Then a little bit later in the third quarter, senior defensive lineman Wyatt Mathis blocked a punt, which set us up again with a short field. So whether it was defense or special teams, we put ourselves in really good field position all night, and our offense really executed. Connor Deal at quarterback, I thought, had a great night. Jack Bolin as a receiver played outstanding. But those two connected four times for touchdowns, and Connor on the night threw for seven. So that's a pretty amazing stat line in itself. He just was finding the guys in open spaces, and they were hauling it in and doing something with it. So just proud of the way we played all around, defense, offense, special teams.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, about your guys' offense, because I know a couple years ago you go back to that semifinal team, very, very run heavy, but threw the ball some, and this year it seems like you guys have been able to be pretty balanced offensively. When you guys have been at your best on that side of the ball, what does that look like?
Well, for us, we just kind of like to play the hand that we're dealt. So if the team is going to really overcommit to stopping one thing, then we feel like we can get, the things we need to get done in the other, in the other phase there. So I think our offense is really adaptable. And like you said, it's pretty diverse and pretty balanced. We can throw it, we can run it, we can run screens, we can, we can hit a lot of different facets of an offensive style. And the guys kind of joke a little bit in the film room when we kind of break down some of the things we do offensively. They'll say, like, what are we running a Division I program here? And I'm just like, listen, guys, this is, this is how you learn the game. This is how you go from being, a team that's got a chance to it, or hoping to get a chance to being a team that has a chance. That you got to be really well-educated, football savvy, and know your X's and O's. And that way, when you get on the field, you're just flying around and you're processing at a high speed instead of sitting and thinking about it.
Open the year with a loss to a really good Pleasantville team. You've since won 9 in a row. Do you feel like you guys are playing your best football right now?
Oh, absolutely. If you go back and watch that film, and I've done that several times throughout the year, you just see us on defense in particular not execute really well. And Pleasantville's got an outstanding football team. They're still alive as well. So good luck to them Friday night. They were able to do some things on the offensive end of our defense that since then we've really addressed that and handled that. And you go to the BGM game with a really mobile and explosive and dangerous quarterback that BGM has in Bo Burns. And twice on the season, we were able to really mitigate what they wanted to do and take away those options and just force them to be uncomfortable and try to go too far with what they wanted to do. So I think our defense really solved some of those issues. And losing that game to Pleasantville, we knew going in that a loss in that game wasn't really going to hurt the trajectory of our season. We knew that that game would teach us a lot about ourselves, and we found out the things that we were good at, and we found out some things that we maybe needed to improve immediately. And so that's so helpful when you play a really quality opponent like that right out of the gates.
Now looking ahead, Wapsie Valley, the opponent in a quarterfinal, the trip to the Dome on the line. What do you know about them, and what will you guys have to do to take care of business there?
Well, I know this about Wapsie Valley. They're a program that is always in the conversation when it comes to football. They're well coached. I've had the chance over the last few years to get to know their coaching staff a little bit here and there. We've actually never played against Wapsie Valley in a football game in the history of our school. So this is a brand new one for both of us. But they're a big physical team. They like to run the football. They're really, really disciplined, especially on defense. They do a really good job, I think, on defense of playing within the way they've been coached, but they can make plays. And last week against Maquoketa Valley, that was another rematch for them. And like we said, that rematch is a tough one when you got to turn around and play them again after, some time has passed. And I thought they made the plays they needed to win that game. And that's the name of the game in the postseason. Nobody's counting stats and nobody's counting points as long as your team's still winning. So they're definitely a formidable opponent. Tremendous amount of respect for what those guys are doing up there. And it's going to be a heck of a football game Friday night. I think both teams want to be really physical and run the football. But we'll find out Friday night who the best team is. And that team will get to represent our pod in the Unidome the next week.
Mike Parkinson, head coach of Linville Soli. Always enjoy when I get a chance to chat with that guy. In Class 1A, Underwood at West Lyon. That is where Ryan Matheny and Tom Moore are going to venture to tonight. I can only imagine the car ride conversations those two will have on the way to Inwood. You can listen to that on KMA 960. Beckman Catholic at Grundy Center in Pod B. They're in Class 1A. Also, you've got Pleasantville at Iowa City Regina and Trainer at South Hardin. That's in Pod D. You can listen to that game. KMA FM 99.1, or we've got video. Watch it. KMALand.com. I'll have the call alongside Keith Christensen. Our Around the State interview for this week in Class 1A goes to Regina, talking with their head coach, Dustin Ellsbury.
Oh, man, I think we just played good complimentary football. The team came out ready to go. We talk about just getting better every week. I think they did that. They took a step forward. Our defense came out and had a big challenge in their quarterback and Mick Hoffman, and also some stud receivers and running backs that they have. But, you know, Mick Hoffman has been going off all year long, passing the ball especially. And so our defense took that as a big challenge to kind of really bottle him up, both getting a pass rush and then also on the back end of things, kind of, you know, covering it up on the back end. And they stepped up to the challenge and did that. I think they scored once on a really short field due to some penalties we had early in the game. Other than that, we really shut down their offense. Then on top of that, our offense, just, you know, once again, just several playmakers that we can get the ball to. Leading the way, quarterback Kyle Tracy just does a great job both passing and running the ball with his feet. And then Savion Miller had a heck of a game too on the ground. I think he rushed for like 154 yards on like 14 carries. So he had a great night. And then, you know, special teams too. Besides maybe one punt, I thought our special team dominated as far as field position goes. So just hats off to our players and guys and my coaching staff for coming up with a good game plan.
Let's go ahead and look forward here because we're already in the quarterfinals here for Class 1A. You guys will be taking on Pleasantville, team you guys faced last year in the playoffs. They hung with you guys. It was 25-21 going into the fourth quarter last year. What are just expectations? Now we got a brand new year, but we're still in the playoffs facing them.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's still all about our guys and us and continuing to become the best possible team that we can be and improving every day, every week. And so, you know, we had some penalties that we need to clean up from last week and, you know, a lot of stuff that we watched on film that we can improve on. So how can we really improve on? Yeah, Pleasantville is a great team. You know, 9-1, got a pretty high-profile quarterback in Braylon Bingham. He also plays safety for them. They returned a lot of guys from last year, but so did we. So, it's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be a great challenge. And like I told our guys at this point in the season, you know, eight teams left in Class 1A. You know, every single team is going to bring their best. Every single team at this point is a great team. And so it comes down to just great preparation during the week and then coming out and executing on Friday.
Yeah, as a fan, it's just kind of fun to watch it. It's a good playoff game from last year that now has higher stakes. So it's going to be an interesting one as that comes and unfolds there on Friday. What's priority number one? You said focus on what we can do. What do you want to see out of your team almost right out of the gate, priority number one, when it comes to Friday's matchup?
I would say, you know, take control of the ball. You know, eliminate, we call them self-inflicted wounds. So eliminate, you know, just self-inflicted wounds as far as penalties goes, our mental assignments, as far as what we're doing, control what we can control, you know, play with great effort, keep, you know, as far as defense goes, we're really kind of building off the foundation that we started last year. You know, we had a new head coach and myself, and then also a new defensive coordinator last year. And so we're just, you know, we're getting better every single week as far as just understanding our system of defense and playing team defense. And just so continuing to pursue the football, be great tacklers, get takeaways when we can get them. But, yeah, just continue to play complementary football as a team.
And then if Regina's going to come and fire on all cylinders there come Friday, what's that going to tend to look like and who's doing it?
If we're firing on all cylinders, I would say, you know, it starts with our guys up front, our offensive line and, you know, Simon and Porter Shetler, Noah Horner, Nate Parizic, Devin Schneider, those five guys, plus Roan Eckhoff and several others that we rotate in, starts really in the trenches. If you can control the line of scrimmage, you know, good things are going to happen. So it starts with those guys and on the defensive side of the ball too, if our D-line can create pressure on the quarterback so he doesn't have a ton of time to throw, keep him in the pocket so he can't scramble and extend plays with his feet. Guys like Will Litton, Tate Wallace, also Nate Parizic, several guys on the D-line, our linebacking core as well. Then obviously our playmakers as far as the guys that usually get their names in the paper, that's guys like our quarterback Kyle Tracy. You know, he can play free and play fast, play with a clear mind. And then our running back and Savion Miller and Gabe Hagelheimer, both two guys that we like to get the ball to a lot in the backfield. And then obviously in our senior, Drew Grieve, big receiver for us, Carter Slager, Eddie Gangba, Aaron Honore, all playmakers on the perimeter that we can get the ball to. They also, a lot of those guys play on defense too. But, yeah, those are just some big names. But I would say it definitely starts on the line of scrimmage with those guys up front.
Couple of Dusties. Well, I think maybe they call him Dusty. I know it's Regina head coach Dustin Ellsbury, and then KMA Sports Dustin, a.k.a. Dusty Scahill, talking there in Class 1A. Pleasantville, Regina, tomorrow night. Onward to Class 2A. Cherokee takes on Kemper Catholic in Pod A. Wilton at PCM in Pod B. Van Meter, their streak of 10 consecutive dome appearances on the line tomorrow night when they go to Mid Prairie to face a Mid Prairie team that, by the way, is led by Denison Schleswig alum Darren Lambert. And then in Pod D, Albernett goes to Osage. Albernett, the Pirates, arg, 8-2 on the year, traveling to Osage. And Tate and Amy had a chance this week to catch up with their head coach and, by the way, athletic director Nick Wooldrick.
It means a lot. You know, we've had a good group of kids here the last couple of years, and you know, our kind of our junior class is kind of our really big class, and they've been working hard, put a lot of work in this summer, and you know, I'm just excited to see that work pay off and get another game here.
Through the playoffs so far, you guys got a 13-6 win over Crestwood there in the first round, and then a 34-16 win over Walk-On in the second round. What can you kind of say about the playoffs so far? What have you seen from your guys, and kind of talk about those matchups a little bit?
Yeah, you know, we came out that first round, you know, we got to host Crestwood, and we knew going into that game, you know, Crestwood's a really good football team. You know, they had a little bit of bad luck in two of their games, you know, Osage and Waukon playing both of them. They played really good football games and just ended up losing them at the end. And we knew they were going to be big and physical up front. And our kids, you know, probably had a little bit of nerves too coming out in that one. And it was a hard fought game, but we were able to score two touchdowns in the third quarter, and we were able to kind of hold them off there. So, you know, going into week two when we got Waukon, we had a little bit of film on them already watching them with Crestwood. And again, you know, another big physical team, has a lot of tradition there in Waukon. And we were lucky enough to play a little bit better ourselves on offense and defense in the Waukon game. And, you know, it was just one of those things where we got some things rolling and it made a few adjustments at halftime, and we're able to put up a pretty good game that night. So, you know, the kids are just, I think, getting a little more comfortable playing this time of year. You know, the nerves are going away a little bit, and they're just going out and they're executing. I really thought we played probably our best football game of the year last week. So it was definitely a good time to do that, and hopefully that carries over to this week.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of talk about some of the playmakers for your team, you know, this season overall and through the playoffs as well.
Yeah, so, you know, starting out, you know, we have a junior running back named Lakin Caves. You know, the kids, I think he's right now sitting second in Class 2A in rushing yards. And, you know, I think he's ranked first in all classes in all-purpose yards. And Lakin, kid, he's a big, strong kid. He, you know, lives in the weight room in the summers and just a really good athlete for us. And he's had a really good first two games, like we knew he would. But, you know, it all starts up front for us. You know, our offense and defensive lines have been playing really good. They're really physical kids. We got a bunch of wrestlers up there on the line. And, you know, that translates really well to football. So, you know, they've been playing really well lately. You know, on defense, we have a linebacker, Cooper Franklin, who's a junior for us, and he's all over the field making plays. We got a big defensive tackle in Egan Fleshman, who really sets a tone up front for us and really can take two offensive blockers away from our linebackers with the things he does. And then in our back end, you know, we have some good cornerbacks. We have a safety, Tayton Kufall, who this actually is his first year playing football since his freshman year. Took a couple years off, but, man, he's, again, another tough wrestler, does a good job running around, making plays for us. So, you know, we've had a lot of kids step up this year, and I know, you know, you look at our stats, you see, you know, Lakin Caves with all these yards, but he gets the yards because our offensive line and our fullbacks and receivers are blocking for him. And when our quarterback, Brody Kessner, when he needs a throw, he can step up, make some good throws for us and do a lot of good things. So we're excited about where we're at. And, you know, we're excited we get to play another game.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking ahead to that quarterfinal matchup there against Osage, what are some of the things you're really going to be looking for and keen on there in that matchup?
Yeah, you know, Osage, you know, they're a lot like us. You know, they have a quarterback there in the streets kid who,
you know, very good runner, also very capable passer. They're big up front. They're strong. Their defensive line does a really good job at getting tackles for loss and moving the offensive line backwards. So, you know, our big thing is we got to limit the explosive plays. You know, if the streets kid gets a lane, he can take it to the house. And we really want to work on, you know, kind of keeping him bottled up the best we can. But, you know, they got a lot of other players that make a lot of big plays too. So our big keys this week is try to make them drive the field. You know, don't give up those big explosive plays. And then when we're on offense, we need to get a body on a body and try to create some run lanes for Lakin and also get our pass game going a little bit early. That's one thing that we really notice when Brody gets some rhythm early that he really feels in the game and we can – excuse me, sorry. We can keep him going and make some good plays there. So it's going to be a battle. You know, they're 10-0 for a reason. They're a very good football team, and we're just excited for the challenge, and we'll see what happens on Friday night.
Obviously, you and your guys know, you know, how big this matchup is, being a quarterfinal, one more win, and you're into the Uni Dome. What are you going to be kind of telling your guys right before this matchup this week?
Yeah, so you know we've been talking about some different things all week. You know, Albernette's never been to the Dome, so you know we've been talking about some things. You know, like, you know, just being the first team in school history. You know, make some history, and you know we kind of live by three letters that we break down to every day before games, after games, and that's the letters EAT, and that just stands for effort, attitude, and toughness. We feel like those are three things that every player can control. If they bring that effort, you know, they have a great attitude and they play tough, we're going to win a lot of football games. So we're just going to remind them, you know, at the end of the day, yes, this is a huge football game for our program and for our kids. But, you know, again, it's another football game. It's the next football game. We've talked about all year how the next one's the most important one. So, you know, we're going to just try to kind of go with that and not make it bigger than what it is. But at the same time, you know, everybody knows you win, you go to the Dome, you lose, you go home for the year. So I think we're going to be ready to play a hard-fought game. And, you know, if we get a couple breaks our way, who knows what can happen. So we're excited to go out there on Friday.
Nick Woldrick, head football coach of the Albernette Pirates, ARG. On to Class 3A. I'm having some fun here today. We're in Pod A. Nevada is at Clear Lake. In Pod B, Winterset is at Solon. In Pod C, Waller Catholic goes to West Delaware. In Pod D, you've got Sioux Center at Bishop Helin. We previewed that Nevada-Clear Lake matchup this week with Nevada head coach Andrew Clayman. Now, they played a 21-14 Clear Lake win earlier this year. And the Cubs, well, they're hoping that they can flip the script in this quarterfinal.
Yeah, we've had a good season. We've had to face some adversity with some injuries, especially mid-season, and had to kind of get some kids caught up to speed. But I feel pretty good about where we're at right now, and we've got a really tough test here Friday night.
You look back on your first round win over a, you know, Carroll team that had been playing some really good football coming into that. You know, now that you've had a few days to reflect on that game, you know, tell me about it and what you like from the guys that made it happen.
Yeah, that was a really physical football game. Carroll's got a nice team, and you know, you look at their schedule they played in their non-district was really difficult against classes or a class above us. Most of the teams they lost to. So, yeah, I think we knew we had to play physical, and I thought we did that, and I thought our senior leadership really stood out, you know, especially in the third and fourth quarter.
8-2 on the year into a quarterfinal. And this is a program that, you know, the last 5 or 6 years has really found another gear and has made this kind of a normal thing. From your vantage point, just speak to maybe kind of the expectation or the standard that has been set there at Nevada that's allowed this to become frequent.
Yeah, I think we've gotten, you know, I started, this is my 10th year as head coach. And, you know, when we first started, you know, we struggled in a lot of areas. So we tried to establish just some high expectations in the weight room, on our practice habits, and I think over time that chipped away and kind of led to a belief. And our kids, I think now just kind of understand each year what those expectations are in the off season and in season, and we're able to just kind of like keep those routines and obviously always trying to improve as well.
but I think our kids just kind of understand the standard, and that standard is high.
You know, with this year's team, I know you came into the year having to replace a multi-year starting quarterback and a near 2,000-yard rusher, but you've still found a way to have a lot of success offensively. You know, speak to what you've seen offensively and who have been the guys leading the way.
Yeah, I think if you look at what we do, it's, you know, our system really allows for us to kind of plug kids in at different spots and allow them to go have success. But it all starts up front. I mean, if you're good up front, you can have a lot of success in high school football. So we try to really start there and pride ourselves there. And then we feel through routine and practice habits, you know, that things can really develop in the pass and run game. So, yeah, I think we've had kids step up into roles, and every team's a little bit different. And ultimately, you just got to play to the kids' strengths. So this year we throw the ball a lot more than we have the last couple years, and that's worked out pretty good for us.
Now, looking to Friday night, you know, a really, really good Clear Lake team. But, I mean, this time of year, if you're one of the final eight left, everybody's going to be really good. What do you know about them as you guys prepare?
Well, we know a lot about them because we played them about a month ago. So that's one of our losses. And we played them at our place. They scored in the final couple minutes of the game to win it. So we ended up losing by 7. It was a great high school football game. I think our kids have a lot of confidence, and I know certainly that they have a lot of confidence. They have a fantastic team. We'll have to play our best football on Friday night for sure.
Yeah, you go back to that first game, you know, close game. Anything in particular you guys learned or took away from that one?
Yeah, I think early, you know, it still was week 4, and you're still trying to – there was no real common opponents, so you're still trying to figure things out. But, you know, their team speed is – as good as anybody in our class, if not the best. So for us, you know, we have to really establish the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and we've got to limit the big play.
You know, lastly, Coach, on the cusp of getting to the Unidome, you know, that's never easy for this group to be able to do that. I mean, how big would that be?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that. You know, we've made huge strides in our program. We've made the quarterfinals now 4 out of the last 5 years, and we haven't been able to quite break through to get to the dome. So here in Nevada, you know, we've never made the quarterfinals before until prior to 2021. So, you know, since then we've been able to replicate it each year, but we haven't been able to take that next step to get to the dome. So yeah, this would be really special for sure. And would be really gratifying for all the teams that we've had in the past that have been close.
Andrew Clement, head football coach at Nevada, is his Cubs hoping to fly the W tomorrow night when they face Clear Lake. To Class 4A we go. Pod A, ADM at Cedar Rapids Xavier. Pod B, Newton at Gilbert. Pod C, North Polk at Sergeant Bluff Luton, or some people might say Lufton. And in Pod D, Decorah at Pella. That is a trip from Decorah to Pella. That might be one of the longer trips of the quarterfinals, and let me break out the handy-dandy Google Maps and tell you that is a 3-hour-and-27-minute/181-mile drive. But I digress. Anyway, let's go back to that Pod B. Newton, 9-1 of the year. They had their first home playoff game in 18 years last week, and they made it worth the wait as they throttled Fort Dodge 51-10. Now they get ready to face Gilbert on Friday night, but they'll have to go on the road. Here is Newton head coach Andy Swedengelm.
Oh, we feel great about it. Like we're excited to be in this moment. Our kids have worked extremely hard for it, and so we're just really grateful for the opportunities that we get.
I know, you know, challenge throughout the year, and then you get to the postseason and you open with a really, really dominant win over a good Fort Dodge team. Tell me about that game, and was that your guys' best performance of the year?
Yeah, so yeah, we were a little banged up early in the year, and you know, our kids have steadily gotten healthier and healthier and healthier, and so we're kind of peaking, I think, at the right time, and our kids really excited about that opportunity that we had last week. You know, it was the first home playoff game for us since 2007, so our kids were really excited about that, real excited about that opportunity to compete in front of the home crowd. And I'm just excited about the trajectory of us. We're looking good right now, and just really, really excited for our kids.
With that, is there anything in particular where you feel like as you guys have gone through this season, you've gotten better and better at?
Yeah, our offensive line was, we replaced a lot of pieces from that group last year. And so, you know, they're meshing really, really well right now. We had a few guys working in, and learning how to play at a varsity level and stuff like that. So they've done a really good job. And then we just had a bunch of guys be able to step up. You know, I know Caden had a lot of press last year. He's kind of our leader. He's our dude. But we've had some other guys step up. Isaiah Hansen's been really, really good this year. Quan Coley has been really, really good this year for us, Finn Martin. So just really excited about those other guys being able to step up and contribute to us too.
Now looking ahead, Gilbert, the opponent, coming up on Friday night with a trip to the Dome on the line. You know, I know they run kind of a unique style that maybe you don't see a lot of. You know, what are you seeing from them on film? What sticks out to you as you guys prepare?
Well, they're a well-disciplined team, right? And they're content with, you know, running their system and running their thing. And just, you know, just trying to shorten the game and take away possessions. And so it's really important for us to be efficient with our possessions, you know, because we don't know how many of them we'll actually get. And so I think our kids are really excited about this, though. You know, we've played some tough physical teams already this year. That's kind of what we lay our hat on, is being tough and physical, too. So we're excited about this matchup. I think it's a great opportunity for us to go out there and beat a good team.
I know you don't want to give any secrets away or anything, but when it comes to going against a team like that, what are, what are the things you'll have to do well?
Oh, being disciplined. You know, they do a great job of executing what they do and having answers for what teams do. And so we have to be really disciplined. It's really easy to get lulled to sleep a little bit, you know, if they go dive, you know, and you get a little bit antsy and you want to start trying to anticipate other things. But our kids just have to be really, really disciplined with their eyes, make sure they're reading their keys and getting all 11 guys to the football every single play. And if we can do that, I feel pretty good about us. We just can't, you know, get into bad habits and let guys run by us and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, one win away from getting to the Dome, you know, that's really, really hard to do. And I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but, you know, for this group to be the ones that be able to do that, you know, what would that mean?
Oh, it would be extremely special. You know, Newton hasn't been in the semifinals since 1992. And so, you know, I think it's an extremely important thing that our kids are very excited for. They've worked really, really hard. You know, at the end of last year, we were very disappointed with how the season ended and thought there was more in the tank. And so, you know, we kind of met and really put together a plan on how we think we can attack this. And our kids really, truly bought in and they did everything that they can do to prep for this moment. So, I'm just really excited for those kids. I think their hard work is paying off, and it's fun to see them believe and grow in that way.
Once again, huge thanks to Andy Swedengelm, the head football coach at Newton, his team getting into a 4A quarterfinal. Now onward to the big fellas in Class 5A, Pod A, Iowa City West taking on Dowling Catholic. Pod B, Sioux City East going for their first semifinal trip in 41 years. I believe the last time they made the semifinals, Ryan Matheny was like in high school. They'll go to Waukee Northwest. Pod C, you've got Valley at Johnston. That should be a fun one. And then Pod D, Southeast Polk at Iowa City Liberty. We tried to connect with Southeast Polk head coach Brad Zelenovich this week. Could not do so. So no shortcuts here around the state. We're going to go to Pod B and hear my interview with Sioux City East head coach Mike Winkelpleck as the Black Raiders coming off their first playoff win in 13 years. Now going for their first semifinal trip in four decades. An interview so nice. If you subscribe to the Upon Further Review podcast, you'll get to hear it twice. Here's Coach Winkelpleck.
I thought our guys played great. They came out, you know, we took the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. I thought our defense played well. Offense did what we needed to do, you know, went up 13-0. And then guys just played well. I thought we played well in all facets of the game, you know, offense, defense, special teams.
You know, it's hard to win playoff games, and you guys were able to find a way to do that. You know, speak to kind of the significance of being able to do that on Friday night.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So, especially, I mean, the last 4 years, last 3 years, you know, we went out in that round of 16. So, I think it was big for our guys. I think they believe, and it's something that we set our goals on early on in the year of what we wanted to accomplish. And that's the first step so far as where we want to get to. And it's just great for the guys' momentum and their belief and just the way that we're going about the season.
As you guys have navigated through the season and now you get into a state quarterfinal, you know, what do you feel good about? What are the things that you really like right now?
I think we just got to be ourselves, right? I think we've played well defensively all year. I think we've been balanced offensively, running the football and throwing the football, and we just got to take what the defense gives us. I think we continue to get better on special teams week in and week out, and we just need to play Black Raider football. And anytime you're in the playoffs, every team's a quality team. So you know you're facing somebody that's probably well-coached and that has tons of athletes. And at the 5A level, you know, a lot of teams have a ton of guys that are going on to play college football. So you got to take it one play at a time and one drive at a time and see what happens.
Yeah, now you get ready to face a really, really good Waukee team there in, you know, the quarter, Waukee Northwest team in the quarterfinals. You know, speak to kind of what you're seeing from them as you guys prepare.
Yeah, I mean, arguably is probably the best team in the state up until week 8 when they got upset. You know, everyone thought that they were the best team and stuff like that. So it's going to be a really, really good opponent. They're obviously well coached. Their quarterback, Heitland kid, is incredible. It's some of the best stats that we may have ever seen at the quarterback position throughout the regular season and stuff like that. So they're big up front. They got skill guys everywhere. They fly around defensively. So it's going to be a tall task. And our guys are excited and looking forward to it.
You mentioned, you know, going against their offense and you know, with their quarterback, Mac Heitland. I know going into like week 9, he hadn't thrown a pick all year. And they've been really efficient with the football. How important is it going to be for you guys to find a way to maybe create turnovers and make life tough for them offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a part of any game. You know, you got to take care of the ball when you have it, and you got to try to create as many turnovers as possible. You know, you got to try and win the turnover battle. But yeah, he's really good, man. He's going to get the ball out quick. He's got some good receivers. He's got good running back, big offensive line. He's also mobile. You know, if it's not there, he's not going to make poor decisions. If it's not there, he's just going to tuck in and run and get what he can and live to play the next play.
Offensively, what will you guys have to do on Friday?
We got to win on first down. We got to stay ahead of the sticks. We got to make sure that we're in pace with our game plan and what we want to do and stuff. We got to make sure we minimize any of the penalties and stay on script.
And lastly, Coach, you know, I know football coaches don't necessarily always love, you know, looking ahead and big picture, but, you know, one win away from getting to the Dome. You know, if you guys are able to find a way to do that on Friday night, what would that mean?
It just means that we would reach one of the goals that we set at the beginning of the season. I think there isn't a team in the state that doesn't dream or wish or want to play in the Dome, right? That's the ultimate goal, to try and play a couple games in the Dome. And it's been a long time since we've been able to do that. So I think it just would mean a lot, but like every coach knows, right? You got to take it one game at a time, one play at a time. And we're fortunate enough to have a game this Friday night. And we're continuing to play with this group of guys, which is incredible. And we're going to try and keep this ride going for as long as we can.
Mike Winkleplack, head football coach at Sioux City East. Always enjoy chatting with him and wish his team the best of luck there Friday night. Huge thanks to all the coaches that took time to chat with us this week. That includes Colby Yoder of Don Bosco, along with Mike Parkinson of Linville Sully, plus Dustin Ellsbury of Iowa City Regina, Nick Woldrick of Albernette, Andrew Kleeman of Nevada, Andy Swedengelm. Fun name to say, from Newton, and then, of course, Coach Winkleplack. By the end of tomorrow night, we will know the teams that are playing in Cedar Falls next week. We hope to interview every one of those head coaches. That doesn't always happen, but we're going to give it the good old college try. For KMA Sports, I'm Trevor Mader.